This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, January 30th, 2015. I'm Marc Boulanger. In the report this week, the European Union tackles its depression-like unemployment with billions of euros. Women in Lebanon form the first migrant workers' union in an Arabic country. Canada is importing more migrant workers and mistreating them. And two cement companies in a huge merger are ignoring their workers in the process. All that plus the Labour Start report of union activities around the globe. This is Radio Labour. There are more than 25 million workers officially unemployed in the 28 countries of the European Union. The EU has decided to tackle its 12% unemployment crisis by implementing an investment plan worth 315 billion euros, about $360 billion. The International Labour Organization, the ILO, has welcomed the EU's investment plan, but warns that if the money isn't invested where it's needed, the resulting increase in jobs could be much less than anticipated. Daniel Johnson of UN Radio reports.
It's not every day you hear someone turning their nose up at billions of euros, but that's just what International Labour Organization economist Raymond Torres sounded like on Wednesday.
If the investment plan is not well designed, the employment impact would be very small. Only 0.4 million new jobs by 2018, so very little.
Mr. Torres was discussing the 315 billion euro stimulus package to kickstart the eurozone economy. The so-called Juncker plan could fail if it doesn't encourage sufficient private investment, he warned, but it could create 2.1 million jobs if all goes well, according to the ILO. Mr. Torres said it was important that small companies in struggling eurozone countries had access to investment since they create more jobs. The European Investment Bank could help by putting in place credit guarantees to protect banks wary of dispensing loans after the 2007 global crisis, he added. Daniel Johnson, United Nations.
There are millions of migrant workers employed in Arabic countries. They work in construction, as domestic workers, as caregivers, and in other jobs. They can suffer enormous abuse because they are not protected by the labor laws of the country, such as they are, and are often tied to the particular employer who brought them into the country. And of course, they are not unionized. However, a group of women in Lebanon is fighting back. Radio Labor's senior correspondent Seymour Ainsborough has a report.
In a remarkable show of bravery, 200 women in Lebanon have formed the first migrant workers' union in the Arab world. The founding conference of the Domestic Workers Union was held in Beirut on Sunday, January 25th, despite threats by the police and the Ministry of Labor to disrupt the meeting. Lebanese law forbids the creation of unions for migrant workers. The result is that thousands of domestic workers from the Philippines, India, Pakistan, and other countries are left without protection. Under the sponsorship system called kafala, migrant workers are controlled by the employers who brought them into the country. Their passports are confiscated, and they cannot move to another job. Many of them end up in abusive situations, facing long working hours, no days off, sexual attacks, and very often no payment of wages for months. They cannot leave the country without the permission of the employer. The new union is called the General Union of Cleaning Workers and Social Care and includes in its constitution a regulation that Lebanese workers can join. This is an attempt to get around the rule that foreign workers cannot have their own unions. Unions of domestic workers are represented at the world level by the International Domestic Workers Federation. This is Seymourie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labour.
Two huge multinational cement companies, Lafarge and Holcim, are in the process of merging their operations in more than 70 countries, including the U.S., Canada, and Britain. And while they're paying attention to their shareholders as the process goes on, they are ignoring their workers. I talked to Matthias Hartwig about the merger. Mr. Hartwig is the director of the Mechanical Engineering and Materials Industries Department of the Global Union Federation Industrial. I asked him why Industrial has started a campaign in support of the Lafarge-Holcim workers.
The workers' demands and their concerns have been ignored, and there has been no proper participation of workers and their trade unions. So there is a total lack of information and consultation, and as far as we are concerned, we have the feeling that there is not real respect for workers so far during this merger. And we must listen to the workers and their concerns, and not only to the shareholders. That's why Industriall, BWI and European Federation of Building and Woodworkers said it's high time to give Lafarge and Holcim workers a voice.
What are some of the concerns of the workers?
Well, first of all, I mean, there is job insecurity. There is the insecurity, where will I end up tomorrow? And it already began. I mean, there has been disinvestment started. Dismissals have started. The reorganizations are underway. And this all on top of a weak economy in general, and on top of announcements of both companies that there have been, there should be kinds of, well, what they call a better cooperation, coordination. And everybody knows that this often means loss of jobs. And even today, workers are losing their jobs. And that is one of the major concerns. So what is lacking is the respect for the 130,000 workers affected, and the total lack of information and consultation, and this insecurity makes workers really angry and disappointed of their companies, because both companies always stated they are standing for sustainability and social dialogue.
Canada has not been known as a major destination for migrant workers, but that has changed because of a right-wing national government. The government has dramatically increased the number of temporary workers from countries such as the Philippines as a way of providing cheap labor for employers. I talked to Larry Hubick about the situation. Mr. Hubick is the president of the Provincial Saskatchewan Federation of Labor. I asked him how many temporary workers were in his province and what sort of work they do.
Well, Mark, since 2005, the number of temporary foreign workers in Saskatchewan has jumped an incredible 647%. Our province went from just about 1,300 temporary foreign workers in 2005 to nearly 10,000 in 2012. With regards to the kinds of jobs temporary foreign workers are doing, this is where the shocking abuse of the program really comes to light. Temporary foreign workers, or some variation of it, has been around. The program has been around for a long time. And from its inception until quite recently, it was meant as a program to fill fundamental gaps in Canada's workforce on an obviously very temporary basis. And they were most exclusively highly skilled, in-demand workers, such as specialist doctors, physicians, professors, highly trained tradespeople, expert nurses, and other such workers. But the Harper government has allowed corporations to abuse the program and exploit vulnerable workers from other countries who are just trying to make a living.
Now here with his report about the activities of Labour Start, the labour movement's news and campaigning service, is Derek Blackadder.
Every 6 minutes, a new story about a union somewhere around the world is posted on Labour Start. Here's a small sample of the news we collected since our last report. Last week, our top stories section included links to news about the formation of a union for migrant workers in Lebanon, the harassment of worker advocates in Hong Kong and China proper, and the global campaign to have Turkish hospital workers reinstated to their jobs after they were fired for organizing a union. Across the globe, we had coverage of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are some highlights. Striking car parts makers in India were arrested for picketing. Sri Lankan power workers stopped work to protest the size of management salary increases. Construction workers in Panama ended their strike with a victory on all points in their dispute. South African bus drivers struck over late pay. Miners in Poland stopped work, started hunger strikes, and occupied mines to protest job cuts. Our top working women's stories included coverage of a new campaign against workplace violence directed at women by a Spanish union, the growth of the Angolan Committee of Trade Union Women, and a massive protest by Indian domestic workers after a 12-year-old housemaid was murdered by her employer. This week, Labour Start is running 5 online actions. All of these campaigns are requested by and sponsored by unions around the world. Join us in helping make workers' lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labour Start, reporting for Radio Labour.
And that's it. International labour news you can use. Thank you for listening. And remember, It's all about global solidarity.